In the name of the Father, amidst tomorrow we begin of Panagias, the dormition fast, the falling asleep of the Most Holy Lady. And we have several services in which we pray for people, the paraklesis, we have it every other day during the week. Who needs our prayers? In today's reading of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, Paul says what authentic love is to bless those who curse them. Tough one. We might ask, why try to bless when people curse? Do we really mean that? And with it, out of the same thing, people are sometimes true. It's in every single person, those who do good and those who do evil. We can't bless God and curse others. God wants us to all, even the one. And Jesus himself is actually practical. So if he believes we can do this, we can do this. It is hard, unless we think we're off the hook because we don't use maybe the words that the dictionary labels as profane. We have to ask ourselves, do I curse in different ways? Am I meditating something someone said to me that hurt me? Am I imagining bad things happening to that person? Am I fantasizing about their shame and downfall? Am I gossiping? Am I thinking there are lots of ways to curse without using those words in this profane? We aren't asked to accept sin or permit sin or cover sin up. We are asked not to become co-offenders with men who work iniquities with their chosen, the psalm says. But that's what we do when we curse those who curse. We become partners in evil when we outdo one another in dishonor. You shame me, I'll make you look even worse. I'll show you. Do we really think that that should be our ultimate accomplishment? The mutual cursing is just what the devil wants. Translations of diavolos is the acute, the one who throws back and forth. How can we get away from that kind of life and honor one another as icons and likenesses of God? How can we do that? We need God to pray in us. Again, James said that the tongue cannot be tamed. That's why we need God to pray in us. Outdoing each other in dishonor is a cheap thrill. And it brings no transformation to anyone. But in St. Paul's letter today, it says, outdo each other in showing honor. And outdoing, leading each other, being examples of showing honor. Wait for another person to show it to us. We do it first, if that's what. It has been asked, isn't it arrogant to say, well, I'll be the better person and I'll do what's right first? Saying we're a better person. Maybe the question is to ask why we, in addition, we should ask, how do we mean it? How do we really mean it? In order to bless those who persecute and to mean it, we have to be thankful to God for his prayers for us, for the transformation that he has given us and the love that he's given us. That's what keeps us humble. God loved us first, John says. Paul told us to be examples, but God loved us first. Praying for others is our way of being thankful for this love and sharing that attitude with others. Praying for sinners and honoring sinners is not saying that everything that they do is right. It's saying, imagine, and God loves them more than I can imagine. He wants us all to be good. He wants us all as children. So God help us all. May he bring repentance to us all. Saint Stephen's last words when he was dying a heinous and torturous death of stoning, he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Similar to Christ's prayer on the cross, "Forgive them, certainly not a curse." And see that Stephen didn't say, "Bravo." He didn't say, "Please continue." He didn't say, "Well, let's cover this all up and pretend it didn't happen." He called it a sin. Do not hold this sin against them. He's not pretending, but he expressed authentic love for those persecuting him, since he didn't want the sin to bring them down forever. How could he really mean that, being subjected to such hate and such pain? It's a mystery. We can't control our tongues without a relationship with God. We have to keep close to God, meditate on our thankfulness for God's saving work, and pray for increased faith, and he will help us. Christ said, "Settle it not in your hearts to premeditate a defense, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom." He didn't say, "Oh, you'll come up with something." You a mouth and wisdom. Beautifully. How beautiful also to remember that St. Paul, the one whose letter we heard today, the one who told us to bless and not curse, with St. Stephen, approving of touching the coats of people killing Stephen, loved. In the persecution of Stephen. It's so striking that this very Paul was the one who experienced forgiveness and took courage to say, "Bless those who persecuted us, bless and do not curse all." We remember that St. Paul did harm. St. Paul calls himself the first of the sinners. But in no way would we say that God is holding it against St. Paul. Now, sometimes we're not the victims. Sometimes we hurt or disappoint or offend people or upset them. How would we like to be treated when we are wrong? Would we want God to stop praying for us? Would we want others to stop praying for us? How can we more likely improve our life? With others blessing us or others cursing us? This is why we cannot give up on praying for one another. With joy, the father in the parable welcomed back his son, who had been disrespectful, totally wasteful, lost in sin. And that is how God waits for all of us. That's how God waits for the person that we're thinking right now is the least likely to turn back. And maybe this will help us appreciate the words that we should bless and not curse. And there are some who seem very unlikely to turn back to God, who do unimaginable evil. But the gospel has shown that sometimes the unlikely happens. And that is who calls himself the foremost sinner turns to Christ. The centurion who crucified Christ confesses, truly, this is the Son of God. He's a saint in our church as well. Saint Haralambos is commemorated along with the two people who tortured him. They became believers, presumably because Saint Haralambos blessed them with his love and did not curse them. And so Saint Haralambos and his two torturers are commemorated all together. Would these former persecutors have been so inspired if they were cursed by those they persecuted? Their experience of Christ was through love only. Yes, we begin fasting for the Dormition of our Most Holy Lady. And we can remember that she is a most excellent saint who prays for us always and unconditionally. At the wedding of Cana, she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. When we feel inclined to withhold prayer and withhold blessing from those who do evil in this world or to us personally, let's keep listening to the Mother of God's words who said, do whatever he tells you, do whatever Christ tells you. And he said, pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Christ has become the curse by hanging on the tree, St. Paul says. And he has. That is why we say at the end of Sunday Orthros, the curse has been neutralized. I katara ne nekrote. Let's no longer participate in the curse, but in Christ, in real life, blessing those who do wrong and praying for their repentance and our own repentance. And stay inspired. To Christ our God be glory.